As many of you clearly know, I love going to watch football live. There's nothing like it, whether it's college football or professional football. There's nothing quite like the excitement of being in the stadium. And Game Time tickets and Game Time picks through Game Time is exactly your way and your gateway to getting the seat that you want and the experience that you'll never forget. Game Time Picks is a new curation feature that filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. The all-in pricing feature, that's my favorite. You get to see your total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. With Game Time, you'll always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN. Boom, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Throws the ball. It's intercepted. Intercepted 35. This is going to be a house call.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Intercepted by the Broncos down the east sideline. This is going to be a house call.
Like, I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Coming up from Showtime's The Agency, actor Jeffrey Wright, Bengals head coach Zach Taylor. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two of The Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on the Roku portal. And on this here portal, you can check out The Agency that premiered last Friday with 2 episodes for subscribers with Paramount Plus with the Showtime plan. It's available for streaming and on demand. The cast is fantastic, including our next guest who was sitting right here last time he was here, who is promoting the terrific film that earned him an Oscar nomination, American Fiction, the one, the only, from The Agency, Jeffrey Wright. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
Good to see you, Rich. I'm great.
Oh, my gosh. Great to be back. So much to... This is the only way I could start our interview. How does it feel, Jeffrey Wright, to be the fan of a team that's gotten ownership right?
Yes.
That's gotten the front office right?
Yes.
That's gotten the coach right?
Yes.
And it's gotten the quarterback right?
Oh, yeah.
In the Washington Commanders. How is this hitting you right now, Jeffrey Wright?
It feels good. Long time coming. Somebody asked me, like, how do you translate, you know, what it feels like for the team to be where it is now for someone who's not a sports fan? And I think you put it like this. You had a long friend, childhood friend,
mm-hmm.
that you absolutely adored. And that friend's been in a coma. For 2 decades, and finally woke up,
mm-hmm.
and you're throwing the ball again together. You're out in the yard. I mean, it's been like, all know how brutal it's been. But I think it starts really, and it. I mean, I don't think it can be overstated. It starts at the top, and it just shows you what leadership, what strong, smart, respectful leadership
mm-hmm.
means to a franchise. Tells you how abysmal the leadership had been. I mean, just destroyed the franchise. But Josh Harris, he's doing the right things. He's assembling the right people. I think it seems he's letting football people do football things.
Mm-hmm.
You got, you know, Peters has a good eye for talent, because the old, you know, the success of the old teams, yes, was Joe Gibbs and George Allen and the players, but it was Bobby Bethard and Charlie Casserly as well,
mm-hmm.
who were bringing in the right personnel for the right, you know, for the right jobs. And so yeah, we've got a great organization again, and we, you know, like it like we once did, you know, and that's all that, and the difference, and he's I've known him since I was a kid, but don't want to, you know, blow smoke, but I think it starts at the top. It starts with leadership.
You've known Josh Harris?
Yeah.
Since you were a kid?
Oh, we went to summer camp together.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So you're in the same bunk as Josh Harris?
No, I was in the same bunk, same cabin with his brother, with Gabe, who's okay. working for the organization and works for the larger organization as well. But it moved back down to D.C. to work with the commanders. But yeah, Josh was a year or two older than me.
Okay.
But he was a good athlete. He was a good wrestler. I think he wrestled at Penn. And he's a good soccer player. But, I've known him since 1975.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you made s'mores with the owner of the Washington Commanders or something like that? I don't know what else you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. But he...
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of lost touch with him. But, I stayed in touch with Gabe, his brother, even throughout college.
Right.
Because he went to Sidwell Friends, I went to St. Albans in D.C., so we were like a few blocks away from each other. And then when I heard news that Snyder was considering, putting the team up for sale, finally.
You didn't believe it at first, I'm sure.
I reached out to them. I said, hey, what have you been doing for the last 30 years? And are you in? He said, oh, it's early days yet, but we'll see. And here we are. Great move.
You're not wrong. Obviously, ownership in any sports team, obviously, it makes a big difference because, the fish and the head and everything can rot from it. And it can also emanate positively from it. And, I know say let football people do football things. They did bring in Bob Myers as well, right. as available from
the basketball
leaving
players. Basketball people do football things.
Well, it's knowing character. It's That's knowing right. a style. It's knowing who can fit. It's knowing how to build a successful organization.
A winning culture.
Heck yeah. And that said, though, getting the kid's all right.
I mean,
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Just the thing about him, too, is he just... It's so calm.
Yeah.
Everything. His feet are calm in the pocket. His body language is calm on the sidelines.
It's expected.
It kind of is.
He expects to do well.
But sometimes that doesn't bode well for a rookie, right? Where you don't know the things you don't know, and then you're assuming that it doesn't take hard work to get it, but that's not him.
Yeah, I don't think he's taking it for granted. I think he's, I've never met him. I've watched him play all season and just what I understand about him. I think he's got his ego and his balance and his talent in balance.
Yes.
You know, when the ego is bigger than the talent, big problems, you know? But when I think he just seems to have... he's grounded. And what I appreciate about him from what I've heard is, often with a player like this, a player of his skill set, he's really a pocket passer, but he's, he can run. It said, great athletic ability, as though it all comes so easily. And I'll say it, particularly with black quarterbacks. Natural athlete.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's apparently is the first at practice every morning, 5 a.m., one of the last to leave, first arrive, one of the last to leave. Hard work, studious, student of the game. We've heard about him using VR headsets and things to study opposing defenses since he was in college. The guy is putting in the work. And I think the expectation of that it seems to me he has for himself is based not only on his abilities, but on the work that he's put in. And so that's translating, I think, to the team as well. You've seen some of these mic'd up moments on the sidelines. Glad we got five. There's an expectation that good things can happen, as we saw, particularly as we saw in after that Bears game. We can find a way out of this. Likewise with the Cowboys game, that that pass to Terry McLaurin at the end, make it happen with seconds left. Kicking game is another story, but there's still the expectation that good things are going to happen. And that's what you go to to sports events for anyway, as a fan of your team. With the expectation that something good will happen. And that's what there was a wonderful moment after that that Hail Mary in Chicago that I saw on the stupid internet. Someone posted a video. There was a fan. He was in the side. He was in the 50-yard line in the stands, and he posted a video and he commenting on that play. Mm-hmm. And he says the most remarkable thing. As the play is unfolding, he says, "I still believe in something." Play unfolds. He goes. He's like, "Come on, man. I still believe in something." Mm. He's willing something good to happen. You know, it's fanaticism. It's too completely irrational. Right. But there's the opportunity for it to play out. It's drama. It's storytelling on the field. And he says, like, "Throw that ball, bro." He throws the ball, boom. And the place goes insane. And he loses his mind. But that's why we're there, for the expectation of something good. And particularly now in this world that we're living in. It has meaning. And yeah, man, that guy's delivering. He's delivering good things. And it's been a long time.
You're ecstatic. Look at you. I love it.
Sports, it's, man. Right. It's only in sport where this stuff happens, man. Well,
but he is an avatar for a lot right now.
Yeah.
You know, for a Commanders fan, for a DC sports fan, and he is proving worthy of having that faith and hope placed in him. And you know, you see how the hope dictates effort, which Michael Irvin always would tell us that all the time, about how hope is powerful because it dictates effort as well. We had Terry McLaurin on in October, and the point that we brought up with him, and he kind of confirmed it, the game that really made everybody believe for sure was the Monday night win in Cincinnati. Mm. When Cincinnati was 0-2, and everyone's like, there's no way this team's going 0-3 with Burrow and Chase. Mm. And the Commanders will just come in like the Washington Generals, right? As opposed to the Washington Commanders.
Right.
And instead of settling for a field goal at the end of the game, Daniels took one in, right in the chops and dropped it in the bucket to McLaurin and told everyone to drive home safely. And I said to Terry, "Hey, looks like you went to the sideline, and with all due respect to everybody else that you've had, you realized you finally have your quarterback." And he's like, "Yep.
Yeah.
That's the way he felt." No, I think the rest of the team felt. Dan Quinn has that positive energy as well. It's all working right now, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's an X factor, right? Isn't it?
I
mean, it's like, you know, a bunch of men coming together. And you hit the nail on the head with this word hope. You know, on every play, there's a sense of hopefulness, you know, that they can be successful. And, you know, that translates out into the stands, obviously, as well. But, yeah, man, it's pretty cool. And, you know, and McLaurin is key as well. In this last game against the Titans, first play, get the ball to 17.
They've been having trouble doing that the last two games.
Absolutely. Get him engaged. You know, you've got like these, you've got some great weapons. Obviously, the running game now is, you know, with Eckler, man, that was a crazy crazy thump that he took.
I think he'll be back soon, maybe, hopefully, after the bye. You never know.
You know, yeah, got the bye. But you know, you see Brian Robinson Jr. is not to be toyed with. And also McNichols and Chris Rodriguez, who was on the team, off the team, back in the game. That guy's a spark.
Did you see the way the team reacted when he hit the end zone? He scored.
That was his first TD.
It was a huge celebration on the sideline.
He's been on the team for a couple seasons now, and every time, like, that dude has something. He just has. He's like, he's an aggressive runner, and it's good, man. And defense stepped up, came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden we've got a well-rounded football team.
What do you think about I've got Jeffrey right here. We'll get
Taking
to the agency
aside.
In a second. What about a stadium downtown? I mean, that will change the tenor of the city, right? And everything else, and the going to a downtown stadium. That's in the works. I mean, I think that'll happen.
Well, it'll change it by going back to, you know, where we came from. It's not actually downtown.
Okay.
It's in Southeast DC, which is where I grew up. And back in the day, most people who were at RFK Stadium on the banks of the Anacostia River in Southeast DC would only come to Southeast DC for a football game. I lived about 10 minutes away from the stadium, so it always felt like everybody was coming finally to the verboten, the forbidden land, which was Southeast. Mm-hmm. Long story. Well, if you know the city, I mean, Southeast, you know, has its rough spots, but it's a bit of a you know, it is a bit of a no man's land for some people, but everybody would gather there for these games. And so not only that, but I think I might have mentioned this before. Mm-hmm. What's beautiful about that piece of ground is it's not just grounds for a sports venue. And obviously they just had the, Congress allowed for the lease to be extended to the D.C. government along with a sports venue, which was the complicating matter. So they've allowed that. They passed that resolution. That's great. But it's if you look at the map, mm-hmm. it was Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Stadium. It wasn't just a sports venue. It was also a memorial, because at the far end of D.C. on the other side is the Lincoln Memorial. Then you have the Washington Monument. Then you have the Capitol, the Supreme Court, all these things. It's in alignment with all of that. It's really an incredibly powerful symbolic place, you know, to play football and to gather, particularly in Washington, D.C., because I've said it before, and everybody who knows the history of this team knows this. That team, when it's successful, is the only force in Washington, D.C. that unites the place. Well, you know, from, you know, and God knows we need that now. And how we're going to get there, who knows? But it's the only thing that works across aisles in the city. So, yeah, coming back to that place mm-hmm. where there's so much wonderful success would be amazing. And I know they're working hard to do that. They've made great strides in getting us to this point. And, yeah, it'll be super cool. I think Josh actually described it at one point. As the, you know, coming back to the spiritual home of the franchise. And it certainly is that.
Last question for you on this. Do you think they'll change the name? Do you think Commander sticks? What do you think? Would you want it? Would you want it to stick?
I think everybody has issues with the name. There's a kind of schizophrenia about the team now. You know, people like wanting the old people, you know, you see, and it's not a unifying thing. And, you know, I have some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I have some ideas.
So you have the ear of your former campmates.
Yeah. We'll see. I think there's, you know, more primary fish to fry right now, which is one, continuing to win on the football field.
Yes.
And then also the stadium stuff. But yeah, I think we can do better. Again, I think there's been an extraction of everything relative to the new era that undermined the success of the team. And so, you know, we'll see.
Have you run into Magic at any of these games?
I've seen him. Yeah.
How great is this? Magic Johnson's part of ownership?
Yeah.
For the Washington Commanders?
Well, you know, as I've said before, you know, we want winners. As Vince Lombardi said in his press conference, when it was announced, I think in '69, that he would be the head coach for the Washington, the then Washington Redskins, he says, "Yeah, I'd like to be a winner the first season. You know, mm-hmm. why wait?" Magic Johnson wants to win, so glad to see him there.
I love it.
Glad to have him on board.
Jeffrey Wright here on the Rich Eisen Show. One of your many appearances here. First time the Commanders are 8-5 and in a playoff spot. So I'm very happy for you.
Thank you.
And now the agency, it's awesome. There's two episodes that are out there. Again, subscribers with Paramount Plus with a Showtime plan can see it. When you first had this placed in front of you, I assume you knew about the Bureau, the French show that this was based on, or what happened when you got this placed in front of you?
The first time that I heard about the prospect of revisiting the French series was with a different group that was trying to bring this to fruition. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started to watch Le Bureau. I saw a few episodes. I liked it. It was grounded. It was kind of had a kind of realism to it. And but that group kind of moved aside, and mm-hmm. then I was approached with this iteration, Smokehouse, which is George Clooney and Grant Heslov's company, was involved. David Glasser, who's had, you know, incredible success with Yellowstone and other things, was involved. Michael Fassbender was on board, and the Jez and John Henry Butterworth had written the scripts, and so I read the scripts, and I was intrigued. But I like, you know, I grew up in D.C., obviously, and so I like stuff that is set in, you know, the kind of the political quagmire mm-hmm. As it exists now. It's curious to me. It piques, you know, kind of, you know, pricks my interests. But what I really appreciated about this was the quality of people who were involved. I've learned over time that just like with teams, and it comes from, you know, partly from having played team sports growing up, is that, you know, you're only as good as your teammates, man. It's a team game. And so when you have people like the people we had, you know, have involved in this, we know that we're kind of, you know, we're going for high quality stuff. We want to win.
Sure.
You know, it's right. Like building a winning culture. It's the same. It's there are a lot of overlaps between this type of storytelling and the storytelling that happens on the field. But yeah, great group of people involved, super hardworking, smart scripts, grounded in kind of the geopolitics of the day, but not overtly political, really like exploring the relationships between these characters and their kind of psychology and the inner tensions of working for, you know, a very complicated agency, the CIA, and but at the same time trying to do the best they can in trying to balance their loyalties to their work and country and those responsibilities, and also their work to, you know, their loyalties to their own humanity and to love and family. So, yeah, it's layered stuff. We had a great time doing it. We just finished like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Is this the first time that you worked with Richard Gere?
Yeah.
As well?
It's yeah,
the first for you?
Time.
For them?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Richard's great. Richard's great.
Dude, that guy's been in so many amazing pop culture touchstone movies and television shows.
Iconic.
And
but what's wonderful about him is, you know, he shows up wanting to get down, wanting to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know. You're working, man, it's Richard Gere. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and Michael, we'd worked about a couple weeks before Richard showed up. And mm-hmm. then he gets there and sits down and away we go. We just found a way to, you know, to build together. It's again, going back to the sports metaphor, it's like, you know, everybody being on the same page and finding a way to work together, you know, to matriculate that ball down the field. And we found a great, like, vibe and a great way of working off one another and, you know, digging down through the material. And, we had a really good time.
And you were saying that you shoot this in London and the studios are right near where the Vikings and Jaguars were staying when they were playing their games.
Yeah, we're about 20 minutes from, 20 minute bike ride, which is why I stay at the same hotel. Yeah, they were the same hotel that I stayed at when I'm working.
Fantastic.
Actually, when I worked on the Batman, I stayed at this hotel. It was the first time. It was a little different then, though, because during the pandemic, everything was on lockdown.
I'm sure.
And it's about a 200-room hotel. And no restaurants were open. No bars were open. And there were three of us in that hotel. I was there for about 6 months.
My God, sounds like The Shining.
It was, yeah. And the madness that follows, yeah, it was exactly that. It was crazy. But anyway, yeah, that's where the Vikings and the Jaguars stayed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I stay there because I can bike to work. You know, it's like, as I say, about 20 minutes, about 10 minutes uphill. So it's like my morning coffee. So then I'm coming back home one day. I'm coming on my bike, coming back home from the studio in the afternoon. You know, and the sun was still up in, you know, London. The sun in the winter goes down at like 10 in the morning. But anyway, I come back, you know, and they've got my old bike route blocked off. You know, they got the football field out there and they got they set up a pop-up training facility and all that. It's getting off work. You got to go. I'm like, okay. Yeah, they took over the whole
facility. Hey, listen, it's the National Football League,
yeah,
Jeffrey, right?
Big time.
So you, Justin Jefferson and Richard Gere would bike to work.
Well,
pretty much.
I don't know if Richard biked. He's super fit though, but nah, I was pretty the only cool. one. I was the only one biking.
Hey, before I let you go, I've never asked you this question. I'll ask it before I let you go. You got a good Anthony Hopkins story from Westworld. Because I mean, this guy's knighted. He's Sir Anthony Hopkins for crying out loud. And what do you got for me on the set of Westworld?
Tony is incredible. I mean, Tony, like, you know, we show up on set to rehearse, might be 6:30 in the morning, and that guy's going full bore. 6:30 in the morning, and he's like 80-some years old. Super energized, super quick mind, and he's just charging. But his thing is built into his contract that he has limited hours on set. He's not doing the 17-hour day at, like, you know, 80-plus years old. He's not, nah. So I think he had, like, I don't know, 9-10 hours, whatever. So one day, we're doing this scene, and it's hot, you know, because we film up north of L.A. in, like, mm-hmm. the high desert, and it's hot as hell. And we're supposed to be outside walking up this dusty road back and forth, And I think however long we'd been there, it was almost like, you know, 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were hitting Anthony's time to, you know, to blow the whistle, you know. And we were walking the thing, and I look at Fred, the director, and he's kind of trying to figure out the shot. And I say, man, you better figure this out pretty quick, because I don't think Tony's walking down this hill too much more. And he's like, okay, oh, you got it. Sure enough, 5 o'clock hit. We walked them in. Tony said to Fred, time to go. We were done.
That's it.
It was it. It was like, yeah, you know.
He enough. Called cut.
Cut. Okay, I'm off. Bring the car. I mean, he didn't know anybody, anything. He's paid his dues. and he's 80 plus years old. And it was like 105 degrees out there. Tony said, time to go home. And so we did.
Do you ever, you know, again, you're here with this guy in any time that's a, you know, alone time. Do you ask him about like Silence of the Lambs or anything like that? Or do you, that's just not the way you handled business?
No, we talked about a lot of stuff.
The Titans here.
We talked about, you know, his career. We talked about politics. I mean, he talked about, you know, history. You know, he's broad interests. I mean, his career is an interesting one, or is almost a singular one, because he, you know, he comes from the, like, kind of that Olivier, you know, Shakespeare, London actor days. And he kind of goes from there to Westworld, you know, and there are not a lot of people who do that. He might be the only one. So we talked a lot of things. He told me, I'll tell you another story.
Sure.
I don't know if I should tell this story.
Oh, now we're in it.
Okay. So Tony, there's a guy in my neighborhood in Brooklyn who I used to see,
mm-hmm.
who was would drink and was really like ugly.
Okay.
And when the show came out, he said that, you know, I saw him in the neighborhood. He was a lovely guy, except when he drank. I saw him. He said, "Yeah." He said, "I see you're in this new show. This is years ago with Anthony Hopkins." He said, "Tony's great." I said, "How do you know Tony?" He said, "I know him from Los Angeles. He's kind of a mentor to me because he was in AA programs, and Tony had issues mm-hmm. with alcohol, and is now a major figure apparently among people who are recovering." He told me this story that he had been up for a role, or was going to do a role with Olivier at the National Theater. I forget the role, some piece of Shakespeare. And for whatever reasons, maybe involved, you know, behavior, he was pushed aside. And another actor, Christopher Plummer, was given the role, and Tony was replaced. He said that he went to see forgive me, Tony, if I'm divulging this, but it's a lovely story. He went to see the show, and he'd had a couple. And he went backstage after to express his thoughts to Christopher Plummer on his performance, which were not complimentary. He went off, apparently.
Oh, my.
Again, he, you know, this was sure. prior, you know, when prior to his being sober, which he has been for decades now. And anyway, so he left. Years pass, mm-hmm. decades pass, like something like 45 years
wow.
pass.
Yeah.
And he runs into Christopher Plummer, and he apologizes. Christopher Plummer's like, "What are you talking about, man?" But I just thought it was it's so indicative, I think, of who he is, and just a wonderfully humble and gracious and like kind of compassionate story.
So he held on to it
for 40 plus years.
And Christopher Plummer didn't recall it.
But it meant something, you know. It meant, you know, Tony had to make amends.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So glad I asked you about him. The Agency, again, is available right now. The first two episodes are out there for subscribers with Paramount Plus for the Showtime plan. I am watching it. You will get hooked. It is awesome. The cast is amazing. and everything about it from soup to nuts is worthy of your attention and time. You're the man, Jeffrey Wright.
You're the man, Rich.
I appreciate you saying that, and anytime.
As I said, when I was at that Ann Arbor hotel, I saw your identity card. You are clearly the man, at least at that hotel.
Unbelievable that they use my photograph and ID, you know. And as I think I probably said to you, I open doors. That's what I do.
Well, you are a notable alum.
Thank you, sir. The agency, everybody check it out. And Jeffrey Wright, anytime you're here, is a pleasure for all of us. So thanks again.
Thank you, Rich.
We're back to continue this show in a moment. Don't go anywhere. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. There's a reason why Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Because in the NFL, there's no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game, and science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. Imagine what it can do for you. I know about it. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers of different, but it really does make the difference. We can adjust our side of the bed the way that we want and get the perfect quality sleep that we need to be more ourselves in work, around the kids. It's awesome. Get ready and get yourself to a Sleep Number store. If you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store, and why not? It's awesome. Again, there's a reason why it's the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Take it from me. You'll love Sleep Number. As many of you clearly know, I love going to watch football live. There's nothing like it. Whether it's college football or professional football, there's nothing quite like the excitement of being in the stadium. And Game Time tickets and Game Time picks through Game Time is exactly your way and your gateway to getting the seat that you want and the experience that you'll never forget. Game Time Picks is a new curation feature that filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. The all-in pricing feature, that's my favorite. You get to see your total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. With Game Time, you'll always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN. Boom, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network here with our Roku channel of feed. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. One of the things I love about doing this show is it involves people who are special to me. Obviously, Jeffrey Wright's been here for a while, and I've consider him one of my favorites to appear like on this program. You too, but he's now just chit-chatting with Susie in the back right now because Susie's here with Amy Trask. There's an Amy Trask, Susie Schuster, Jeffrey Wright conversation happening in our green room.
And they're all going to be BFFs in the five minutes that they're going to spend together.
I'm sure they're offering some baked goods that they brought for all of us to him. So.
Or some champagne.
Maybe, who knows what's going on back there. Wait a minute, I got to go.
Hey, next week on What the Football, Jeffrey Wright will join.
What the Football, with they're chatting with Daniel Jeremiah. And then obviously, Daniel's going to be talking about, I don't know, when is the Heisman finalists coming out? Are those coming out?
Usually the ceremony is...
It's a week from Saturday. Week.
It's a week later this
right.
year.
Okay. Do they usually announce it during the conference championships?
Yeah.
When do they usually announce it?
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
But it doesn't really matter. I mean, Travis Hunter's going to win.
So. I think so.
I mean, he is such a massive betting favorite, it's not even funny.
Well, we've asked Johnny Manziel, who said Shador was his choice, didn't he say
Jameis Winston said he was.
Oh, Shador was his choice.
He was kind of into Shador,
right.
yeah.
And No surprise that Charles Woodson's first guy he mentioned was Travis Hunter.
Right. I mean, Travis Hunter's minus 6,000.
I'm sure Johnny was
leaning. Is that what he is?
Yeah, so it's all but locked up.
Wow.
He's that good?
He's had a tremendous year. Good. And like I said before, I think when you think about this season of college football, what are you going to remember? You're going to remember him playing both ways and dominating both ways. He's playing 120 plays a game. That's unheard of.
Yeah, but there's no question about it. When you're talking about individual achievements, he's a unicorn like that. I'm just wondering at the end of the season, if we're going to be like the story of college football, we will be talking about the 12-team playoffs and how it's playing out and whether we like it or not. And I think it's just going to be a smash hit. Where these
maybe
a smash hit.
Maybe.
An absolute smash hit. Dude, you will send a text to the group.
You will send a text
to the group when we see college football playoff games being played on a campus, winner goes on, loser goes home, and the results, if they're anything like, say, this past weekend, when we saw it all, we saw the big-time environment, Texas A&M, and we saw Michigan and Ohio State, and that result, your result from Syracuse, the results, like these in winner-go-home games on campus, it's just going to be lit.
Well, because it's
lit.
Because gambling is taking over sports culture, so that's why it's fun. But I think in terms of getting the best games and having the best team win the championship,
right?
I don't know if we're going to get that.
How do we know who the best team is right now? We don't.
I think it's clearly
Oregon.
Oregon is clearly the best team.
Right.
It's their championship to lose. And so I think if like the 10 seed wins, is that good for college football?
How would it not be? I mean, Cinderella in college basketball is incredible. And we all
talk about it like it's singular to college basketball. College football has always been the best team wins the championship.
I don't know. Cinderella stories in any sport are always the winner. But whether it's Buster Douglas or it's name anybody that went on a run in baseball that nobody expected.
But that's not what college football has been about. Cinderella doesn't win the college football national championship.
College football hasn't also been about NIL and portals and stuff like that. You just better get used to it. This is it. This is the world right now, man.
NIL and the transfer portal, I don't know if that's proven to be good for the sport.
Well, guess what? It is the sport, though. It is. And I can't believe my school's now involved. There's this huge article I haven't read yet because I don't subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. They did a whole deep dive on Larry Ellison, his wife, and...
Oh, how they got...
And how Bryce Underwood wound up being a Wolverine.
Well, eight figures, that's how.
Well, and I'm just, to be honest with you, I am very glad my team, my school, is in that mix. Because if you're not, you are going to be irrelevant fast.
In terms of winning and losing.
And yes, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, the days of, like, let's make sure the kids all graduate and if we can win the national championship because enough people vote for us are over. It's gone.
Oh, yeah. And not every team in college football is serious about winning.
And the way it's going right now is going to change, too, whenever the ruling comes down about how everybody's got to get paid. You know, athletic departments are going to figure out how much a golfer is going to have to get paid compared to a gymnast, compared to this. The thing that I'm nervous about that isn't about college football. The thing I'm nervous about that is about the other sports that are affected on campus because decisions will be made to make sure college football is handled because that's the revenue-generating sport of sports. I'm concerned about how, you know, the Olympic sports will survive, and if they don't, how will Team USA look at the next Olympics?
Not as good. It won't.
Right. Yeah, that's the way I'm concerned about it. Yeah. But right now, I'm very glad. And then just in my own house, I am concerned about how will Michigan handle having a kid who's making all that money? And NIL and Portal and, you know, is Sharon Moore ready to handle all that stuff? You know who's the best, in my mind, to equip to handle all of it? Is Deion. He's like a perfect coach for right now in college football. And to all my Ohio State friends, you think Vrabel wants to jump in there? You think Vrabel would prefer? You heard Mike Florio say in hour one, just to bring this all together. You heard Florio say that he's thinking Vrabel to the Raiders. Brady's there. Vrabel can come to Vegas and just bring his cult of personality and his CEO style and his smash mouth style to the AFC West, why would he want to go to Columbus and make sure that the kid that you're, you know, that the collective is paying the kid enough?
I don't know why any coach would want to be involved in the college game right now.
And trust me, all you Ohio State fans that are clogging up Urban Meyer's Twitter account saying, please come back, on behalf of all of us, please keep Ryan Day, the us being the Michigan Wolverines. But outside of that, how do you think Urban would handle some kid coming in the office saying, I'm leaving if you don't pay me $2 million more?
He'd say bye.
And is that the right decision for the Ohio State football program?
Well, they spent all this money this past year and it didn't really
work out. I'm just saying, why would the days of Urban's and anybody else who has that iron-fisted approach, you know, not saying that's what he did all the time, but I don't know if it's suited for this day and age. You know whose it is Deion Sanders. He is equipped. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, Zach Taylor of the Cincinnati Bengals will join us, and Nick Caserio. We have his press conference soundbite. He went all in on the NFL based on the suspension of Azeez Al-Shaair today. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happening. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood1 to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/Westwood1.
As you know, when Michigan loses to Ohio State, not fun for me. And over a large stretch of the first half of our show's history, it was bad news for me wearing Ohio State stuff and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you made a lot of silly bets with people.
Guess what? Now the shoe's on the other foot. Terry McLaurin of The Ohio State University had a Michigan jersey placed on the podium post-victory by Mike Sandrastill, who also brought music and a question.
Terry, quick question. What are your just quick thoughts about yesterday's rivalry game?
I don't have a lot of words right now, Mike. I'm still trying to process that. Hats off to y'all, man. Y'all came in there and y'all made the plays to win, so... we got to find a way to come back next year and get the dub. I ain't never lose. yeah, man, I'm still rocking with Ohio State, but that was tough.
Yeah.
Appreciate your best bet.
Hold that up one time for me. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go look at my hair.
Ha, 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 ha. Yes, even a rookie's able to clap back, huh? And so I saw this also on Aiden Hutchinson's Instagram account. I follow him, and I'm like, why is Aiden Hutchinson putting his uniform on again? Nope. That is Taylor Decker, his Lions teammate from Ohio State. That's the way he's got to pay it off. Put on. He had to wear Aiden Hutchinson's jersey and helmet. I told him he planted the flag on this one.
Why do these guys make these bets?
I don't know, man.
Did you make a bet to eat a hat?
He did.
Yeah, no, I can't say anything. Wearing stuff that's embarrassing to you. Why would you do that?
No, because it could do it to somebody else. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, Game Time Tickets. Susie and I used it to make sure that she is going to take our oldest, Zan, to the Eras Tour this very weekend.
This weekend, though.
It's the final three shows.
Oh, you say that like I should.
So, you know, I keep saying, I know.
Yeah, that's not common knowledge.
I know that. Actually, just maybe not around here, it's not common knowledge. But it doesn't matter if it's college football, pro football, concerts, comedy, theater, sports. Doesn't matter if it's in your town or if it's in someone else's town. Game Time gives you the same experience by showing you every single seat that is available that's of interest to you, finding the perfect seat, the view from your seat, the all-in pricing. So when you pay for your seat, there's no surprise fees at checkout. It is awesome. We use it. You should as well. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use our code RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem our code RICH. You get $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Game Time is also the presenting sponsor of the Overreaction Monday podcast, so it only makes sense that we do Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday right now.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right.
On a Tuesday.
Christopher.
You knew it was Tuesday, and you still did it.
Go for it.
Everybody good? How you guys doing?
We're good.
Yeah,
you know. How are you?
I like you.
It's nice.
Great to see you.
What's going on? Why are we doing Borat all of a sudden?
He asked for it earlier.
It was funny. Okay. I like you. Hey, guys. You watched the game last night?
I did.
Yeah.
I saw it.
You know who should be in the Coach of the Year conversation?
Sean Payton. Yeah.
Give it up to this dude, man.
Dude, we did to start this program. I don't think it's an overreaction. He should be in the conversation. No question about it. Dude, to say to Russell Wilson, we're done now.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay, that takes a lot of gumption. And I don't care. You could sit here and say, well, the owners hired him and they handed everything off to him. And you're basically going, and I know the Walmarts can find this money in their couch cushion, you know, the Walmart people.
That's still a lot of cash to just be like.
To say, listen, we're going to burn all this cash.
Right.
And then we're going to hopefully draft a rookie. And then we won't have the benefit of the rookie contract where you can build around this guy by getting expensive players or paying the players in your organization that are in line to be paid, because the dead money chips away at that. And don't worry, we'll still make the playoffs anyway with a bunch of kids that the front office, George Payton, give it up to him too, drafted. Kudos, man. Knicks looks terrific. And they're 8-5 on the bye week. So not an overreaction.
You want to handicap the race? Who do you like in the
It's Dan Campbell at this point in time. Mike Tomlin has to be in this conversation as well. Sean Payton's in this conversation. If the Packers finish up strong, somehow win the division, starting with a win on Thursday night in Detroit, you got to throw him in the mix here. Do you dare give Nick Sirianni some run? How about Sean McDermott? He's definitely in the conversation.
Feels like there's about 10 guys who can win this award.
I agree. It's up for grabs, but Sean Payton should be in the mix. Correct. What else?
All right, let's go to the other side of the field for Monday night. You know, the Browns, Rich, I think they'd be in the playoff hunt if they'd went to Jameis after week three.
1,000,000%. But they were never going to do that.
But we all saw what Deshaun looked like.
We saw
to start the season.
Doesn't mean that we're fans. We could sit here and say this should be done. We're journalists or... We're commentators.
Analysts.
Hot takers. Whatever. We can say that. We're not the ones in an organization that have made a financial commitment like that. And Deshaun, you know, got to give him some time. This, that, the other thing. But again, everything you hear is that Deshaun is uncomfortable running the offense that we're seeing is being run by Jameis. And we saw what Joe Flacco did. Yeah. Two of the top five first five-game passing yard production of any quarterback since 1950 in their first five games of the team. Number three on that list is Jameis. Number five is Flacco. So, of course, this is total 2020 hindsight. Not an overreaction, but impossible. Would never have happened. Never. Can't say that. What else?
Jameis is fun, as we said.
That's not an overreaction either.
Jeffrey Wright was just here. Obviously a huge fan of the Washington Commanders.
Yes, sir.
I like the way they bounce back on Sunday. I think the Commanders have the offensive firepower to make an NFC championship run.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
They can score with anybody.
Here's the deal. Like, as of right now, they'd have to go into Philadelphia and potentially beat them for a second time if they're so fortunate to win the rematch that's taking place in their home stadium on week 16. Either they're going to have to beat them twice in a span of a month or go into Philadelphia and try and beat them for the first time after being swept by them. I mean, that's a tall order, pal. That's a very tall order. Because I don't think they're going to overtake Green Bay or Minnesota to get out of that seven spot.
Even if they win out?
Even if they win out, I still think they're going to wind up as a seven seed and have to go to either Philadelphia or Detroit. Tall order overreaction, as much as I'd like to say. But I think they do make it, as opposed to last week when I designated them as or what rather than playoffs. Earlier in the show, I mulliganed that one.
They can score with anyone.
What else, Chris? They can, but I mean, Philadelphia and Detroit are the ones that they're going to have to one and done. With a rookie quarterback as great as Jaden Daniels has looked, that's a tall order. And that defense against the Lions offense or the Eagles offense, the order is tall.
The order is tall.
It's venti.
All right, we briefly talked about...
Is that larger than tall?
Oh, I don't know. Venti?
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know.
Just thought I would know that.
Oh, it's been confirmed. Mike Hoskins confirmed it. Whatever the largest
I was
going to
say yes.
It's a venti order.
I don't drink coffee. We briefly hit on this yesterday, Rich. I want to get into a little bit more. The 49ers should sign Sam Darnold this offseason instead of giving Brock Purdy $50 million a
year. Dude, you liked my little off the top of my head conversation we had about that yesterday, huh? When I said Purdy needs to show something over the next few weeks to get a salary that starts with a 5 or a 6. And if not, the Niners could just say, let's get Sam Darnold back here.
Why wouldn't you just give Sam 40 and rock and roll? Give him the 4 for $160 rather than give Purdy $200
plus. So give him the Daniel Jones deal rather than giving Purdy the Dak deal?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to consider it. As much as I love Purdy. You know, he's one of my kids. So, not an overreaction to investigate it.
You know. Like, really, really think about it.
I don't know. Darnold might stay. Never know.
Interesting.
We'll see how it plays out for the Vikings over the next 6 weeks.
They're invested in McCarthy, obviously.
Yes, I know.
All right, a couple more real quick. Bears are currently and will ultimately be the best head coaching vacancy available this offseason.
Well, now you sound like Kevin Warren saying it's going to be the best available.
I think when you look at all the pieces, I don't know how you could say otherwise.
Unless you don't believe in ownership or the management structure.
I'm talking about the players.
I understand what you're saying. But if you're a head coach, you got to sit there and go, I got to meet the owners and I got to meet the team president because he clearly has a ton of clout. And I got to meet the general manager who's sticking around. I mean, you might sit here and say this isn't the most, solid situation. It might be a little more fluid. I don't know. But I don't think this is an overreaction. I mean, you got Caleb, you got Chicago, you got a defense, you got an offense that's got weapons, and you got a fan base that's very passionate.
And they're ready to win and have some success, which they haven't tasted in a while.
I think it's very attractive, and you may be right, but at the end of the day, the most attractive. You know, Zach Taylor is going to join us in hour number 3. More of your phone calls here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We're still here on the Roku Sports Channel. I just kissed off radio. You got one more over there?
We need one more. All right, we'll get one more.
I had no idea that was coming.
You're just stepping on everything today.
Am I?
The winner of Thursday Night Football this week is going to win the NFC.
No, dude, come on, man. Why would you just dismiss the Eagles right now? Why would you do that?
Well, apparently I hate every team, so I need to hate on the Eagles a little bit. I've been glazing them. Is that the phrase we're using right now? I've been glazing them too much.
Anybody want to help me
apparently
on that?
You don't want me to give my
YouTube comments.
I don't dance around it. I jump right in. So
I'm talking about what glazing means.
Yeah, I don't want to say what that means. It's not it's not good.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with J?
I can't really give you a definition that Roku Joe won't be mad about.
All right. Dude.
Look at the Packers' schedule. They win on Thursday.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that they don't have a chance. They have a chance to win the division.
Washington beats the Commanders. Suddenly, a Packer one seed. Road to the Super Bowl goes to Green Bay.
Well, I mean, just because you want to get half of your preseason Super Bowl prediction correct doesn't
mean. I would like to ultimately.
Overreaction. Come on, man. The Eagles are playing some of the best football in the NFL, if not the best. We can make an argument for that.
I've been telling you about the Eagles for 6 weeks.
So then where did this come from?
I'm just trying to come up with some reactions,
attaboy,
man.
Overreaction. Well done.
Lions fans, get out of my mentions.
And scene. Check out the Overreaction Monday podcast, where all podcasts can be acquired right now.